Welcome to it. It's Monday, and we're going to make it great on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 7:07, and your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Oh, some of your top stories. Well, you've got the manslaughter, that charge dismissed, but it's not over yet for Mr. Penny. In fact, the jury will be back again today, and they're supposed to consider a lesser charge. This never, absolutely never should have gone to court. It's awful, but people need to be reminded. These are the people, like the district attorney. That's Alvin Bragg.
Yep.
Those are the ones that you elected. Choose carefully next time, if you would. All right. What else we got going on? Gators are in a bowl game. We're taking on Tulane, Gasparilla Bowl. That'll be in Tampa Friday, December 20th. And Scott Frost is back as the head coach of UCF. And he really put them on the map. Remember they had that undefeated season back in 2017, and they were claiming they were national champs because they were left out of any you know, big game. But, yeah, he left his mark, and now he's back to get the program, you know, back on track and at that higher level again. So good for him.
Yes.
Who would want to coach anywhere else other than in Florida? I don't know. Shifty Shift, what's he up to?
Being slimy?
Can you believe that guy? Yeah, he's so slimy. He went from Congressman Schiff to now Senator Schiff. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And so anyway, apparently he is taking office today. Not in January, like pretty much everybody else, right? The gambit, what he's up to, while technically legal, is an evident attempt by California to gain an edge in the Senate by giving Schiff seniority over newly elected senators from other states.
So if you sneak in early, you've got seniority.
I guess by a matter of days.
Wow.
I didn't know it worked exactly that way. I mean, they're in the same class, if you know what I mean?
Third.
This is in his case.
Oh, yeah.
This is the incoming class of new senators.
Right.
Governor Gavin Newsom announced the appointment of Senator-elect Adam Schiff to complete the remaining U.S. Senate term of Senator Butler following her resignation. She announced her resignation effective December 8th. And to ensure Californians have their duly elected representative seated as soon as possible, Senator-elect Schiff, who won election to a full term beginning in January, is expected to be sworn in today. Yeah. Now, you know what happened yesterday, back in 1980?
Mm-hmm.
John Lennon.
Yeah.
And everybody's got a story. Well, a lot of people our age have a story of where they were.
Right.
I watched Monday Night Football I was actually there in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of buddies. I was going to radio broadcasting school then. And we got tickets to the game. And on the way back, of course, me being who I am, I was all asleep the minute I get into a car.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sleeping, and they wake me up. They go, hey, John Lennon's dead. And I'm like, yeah, because we're always pranking
sure,
each other.
Right.
Come on, man. It's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
They go, listen. And they go through, and you remember, this is dated because you push the buttons like on the radio.
Yes,
you know?
One of the five buttons. Yeah.
Yes. Right. So they did FM and AM. All of them were playing John Lennon or Beatles songs.
Man.
And that was
a time.
Quite eerie.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, what were you up to?
I was actually with family in Houston and was going to be going to the next day. I was going to be spending the night at my brother's house. He's the one that worked for went on to be at NBC, but he was still working in TV in Houston. And it was that night. I was watching Lou Grant, which was always on, and they broke in and announced it. But what was interesting was the next day, going to work at a news station when that's your top story, and just the hustle and the bustle of the newsroom.
So you shadowed him? You watched him?
Oh, yeah.
Him?
So I went to work with, and he was the assignments editor. And so, yeah, and you got to remember how old school things were. They're like bringing in staff or bringing in albums to take pictures of to use for backdrops, you know, during the news story.
They didn't have all these digitized file video
that
they could quickly put together, nor did they have usually they have assembled, you know, famous people that are older
because you know
they
die,
could die and they want to be ahead of the curve. But yeah, in this case, they had to do it the old school way, actually bringing in records, albums, anybody had photos. And yeah, that was something else.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Yeah. I I won't forget that event.
Yep.
Not anytime soon. Oh, what's our buddy old knucklehead up to, huh? You know who I mean.
You mean this guy?
And I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's always been to do the best I can.
That knucklehead?
Yeah, that knucklehead. Okay. Tim Walz. Governor of Minnesota, Vice President Kamala Harris's presidential running mate, has admitted he was a little surprised at the results of the presidential election.
He kind of walks around looking surprised about everything.
Well, he kind of does, and then also at least it's within his self-described character as, you know, a bit of a knucklehead. Interview he did with KSTP News, Walz explained that while attending campaign rallies and events and going to shops, it felt like the momentum was leaning toward Harris and Walz. You know, maybe they didn't let him in on the idea that so many of their events, they had to kind of prop up, if you will. They had to pump them up. They had to bring a lot of people in. And maybe he wasn't aware of that. Maybe he really thought, oh, man, they really like us. Yeah. They're getting paid to like us. Yeah. Go to a parade in North Korea. They're all happy and smiling like they like that bozo.
Good point.
So anyway, he said it felt like at the rallies, you know, at things I was going to.
Well, yeah.
It was just, you know, we were doing great. I thought we had a positive message. Well, what was the message? I know turn the page was part of it. Well, I can't think. What was the other stuff?
Yeah.
What was the message? Because at one minute they would say, you know, Joe, I wouldn't change anything that me and Joe Biden did, right? That's what she said. And then she also tried to separate herself from Joe Biden. So, yeah, I don't know why Tim Walz would be surprised. When asked if Walz thought he helped or hurt Harris on the campaign trail, Walz stated that history will write that. He added that in the aftermath of the election loss, there were obviously things they could have done differently, adding that he did the best he could. All right. Well, fair enough. But, yeah, he was a little surprised. At least, you know, at least he wasn't like, you know, Morning Joe and Mika.
Oh, my.
Hating on Trump with every word for years. And then as soon as they got invited to Mar-a-Lago, they went and showed up. I mean, you talk about people have no shame.
None whatsoever.
Gosh, absolutely ridiculous. One of your big news stories is the fall of Bashar al-Assad, Syria. And he has fled to Mexico, where he has allegedly received asylum from Putin. And apparently in Syria, the people are celebrating, tearing down posters of Assad and statues of his equally vicious father who founded the regime. But the driving force behind these changes is a terrorist organization, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, or HTS. And it's the offspring of a complicated relationship between al-Qaeda and the Islamic State. The leader is Abu Mohammed al-Jalani, who began his career fighting U.S. troops in Iraq. Now, he rejects the label of terrorist, and he wears a suit jacket for interviews with Western media.
Wow.
So, yeah, he wants to appear to be, hey, I'm just a shady politician, but certainly not a terrorist.
Well, the jacket makes all the difference, Bob.
And you got to remember, because these are the folks that always tell you, oh, yeah, if we're in power, like the Taliban, you don't have to worry. You know, we're not going to keep the girls out of school and promote all that hardcore stuff.
Until they do.
It's always been a lie. There's no reason to think it'll be a lie now. We'll see how that power vacuum is filled. It is 7:16, time now for What's Bugging You, a chance for you to call in, air it out, get it off your chest. What's Bugging You is brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs, but call in now, 877-975-9825. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.
Oh, Houthi militants,
Hamas, a reconstituted Al-Qaeda or ISIS,
Russian and Iranian arms trade,
North Korea, China.
This is geopolitical whack-a-mole.
With so much to talk about, there's a lot that fires you up.
Now,
time to air it out. What's bugging you? Call now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Another day in paradise. Welcome to it, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time now for What's Bugging You? Brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. 877-975-9825. If you don't get in right away, please try back. Good morning, Pete. What's bugging you?
Laura Trump. I'm not sure exactly what her status is right at the moment. I know she resigned from the Republican committee, but there's talk that the president is going to make her a senator. We don't live in a country where the president can make his daughter-in-law a senator. I mean, he can, but that's not how our country is supposed to work. And I'm sure she's very qualified in her career, but she's not at the senatorial level. And the other thing to think about is there's going to be another election to fill the seat eventually, and it's going to be her against some slick Democrat. And I'm afraid that as a candidate, since she's never been a candidate, she'll get eaten up alive by whatever slimy Democrat is up against her. Thank you, Bob.
Now, I could see that. They'll shout nepotism and all that, and so it might not make her as good a candidate as she would be ordinarily. But, I mean, to appoint somebody temporarily is common. But I guess to be a family member there, that's where it goes into a questionable area for a lot of people.
Stop and look at the past. Spouses have replaced a spouse that passed away or got ill.
Temporarily
and
until
they,
the regular.
And they weren't even a politician at all. So these things do happen.
Yeah.
And that's not unusual. JFK and RFK. Look at that scenario.
The woman up in Michigan has been there for years. Her husband held that seat. Debbie, I can't think of it right now. But
yeah.
Yeah.
But we get the point, but it's not unusual.
Thanks, Tom Jones. Let's go to Mark. What's bugging you?
Hey, good morning, Bob McGregor. What's bugging me is on Sunday I was watching Kristen Welker interview Donald Trump on Press the Meat, and Trump seemed to imply that he could end birthright citizenship by executive action. So he's incorrect. It's part of the 14th Amendment, so it requires a constitutional amendment. That requires two-thirds of the Senate and two-thirds of the House of Representatives to approve of that, so that's not happening. And the only other way is two-thirds of the state legislators proposed in a constitutional convention. So that's not happening either, because he could never get that. So I think he's just blowing smoke. But
I wonder if maybe temporarily, due to national security risks, maybe a case could be made. I'm just thinking out loud.
An emergency situation.
That there would be a way he could get it done, even if it's temporary. It might be helpful. 877-975-9825. Call in now to get on What's Bugging You, brought to you by Florida Pest Control. And good morning, Jen. What's bugging you?
Good morning. Quickly, too. First, I know somebody who go to FSW online who received a zero on their final because on camera they had a blank piece of scrap paper, even though scrap paper was not excluded. I think that's bull. Number two, regarding the Neely trial, the medical examiner, Harris, actually declared that it had been homicide before she even got the toxicology report back.
Yep.
And it was asked why, you know, you need to have the toxicology report to do this. And she said that no toxicology result could change my opinion. So it's an opinion and not facts.
So the person could be under the influence of all things, could affect their respiration and their heartbeat and everything else. And, yeah, that's
a little judgmental, don't you think?
I think it is. Let's go to John. What's bugging you?
Morning, Bob. I'll tell you what, I'm freaking tired of the left. If they can't stand the heat, they need to get out of the kitchen. I'm tired of them taking things you say, taking them out of context, and turning them around and throwing them back in your face. Or better yet, like Facebook does, just simply canceling you out because you violate the community standards of the left. That's what's bugging me.
Yeah, It's been going on for a while in different, whether it's censorship or whatever. Last chance, 877-975-9825. Slim again, what's bugging you?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. What's bugging me today? Termites. That's what's bugging me today, termites. I don't want to get into the details. Thanks.
All right. Well, Florida Pest Control is there for you. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So, they can be quite nasty in Florida. No doubt about it. Let's go to Donnie. What's bugging you?
One thing to say, Bob. $765 million destroying the game of baseball.
Whatever the market will bear, I guess.
But it's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Jim. What's bugging you?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Slaughter Trump Day is what's bugging me. Thank you. Have a good day.
All righty. Thank you. Want to go right to the phones?
Grab it.
Good morning. Who's this and what's bugging you?
Spencer and, I'm going to say Republicans are bugging me.
Yeah, why is that?
Because we know the Democrats, they wear their evil like a badge of honor. These Republicans, they're the vipers in the grass here.
You're talking about the rhinos, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. I got you. Thanks, Spencer. All right, we good? We are good. Sorry we didn't get everybody in. We'll do our best to work you in another time or later on. It's 7:27 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and coming up at 8:05, Ocala Police Chief Mike Balkin. We'll be talking to him right here on 97.3 The Sky.
The stories that matter.
The Republican Party now reflects the country.
Every day.
This is a mandate to change the way Washington works.
All day.
Isn't it nice to win? It's nice to win.
On 97.3, The Sky.
Day one promise, mass deportations.
What happened?
Tom Homan, border czar.
What it means.
Get the hell out of the way, because we're coming.
What's next?
Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio.
Mike Waltz, national security advisor.
The transition that's so smooth.
24/7.
The news station.
News Talk 97.3, The Sky. Clarity.
We have to follow the facts where it may lead.
Credibility.
News of the day.
What we want is the facts.
And conversation.
What everyone should be talking about, what you're talking about.
Hear about it first.
We made history.
Talk about it now. News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Good morning and welcome. 'Tis the season, right? Got some cooler weather, getting in the mood, maybe watching some of the holiday and Christmas shows. It is 7:34, your time check, brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's Monday. We're going to make it great. It is what we do. They'll be reconvening the jury in this case, Daniel Penny, up in New York. Manslaughter, that charge has been dismissed. Now they're supposed to consider a lesser charge. But this never should have gone to court, to a jury.
No.
But here we are. I hope for the best. I feel like Donald Trump will probably pardon him anyway. It would be the right thing to do, and it never should have got to this point. We do have the miscarriages of justice that take place on a regular basis. There's cases where this same DA and this prosecuting attorney has given very light sentences to very bad, violent people. It just, there's no sense of consistency there. If there is, it's very biased consistency, I guess.
Talking about that case, because I had said the other day the same thing that you just did about Trump. Are these state charges? It would have to be a governor who would have to pardon a state charge. The president can only do federal, from what I understand. That just came up in a discussion over the weekend, because I was thinking the same thing, and looks like that would be the case. So that would be the question, is would...
Oh, Hochul?
She'd
give him the electric chair.
See where I'm going? It's like, oh, no!
She'd fry him and give his house to a couple of illegal immigrants that are wanted on charges.
So we just hope the jury gets it right.
Yeah, then. Good point. Yeah, I kind of forgot about that, I guess. All right. But it is this season where you do need a break, and I love some of these holiday movies. I was trying to organize some of my drawers, and I was watching... The original Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, yeah. That's a
classic. Isn't that a great one?
It is.
Kris Kringle and I don't know. I just got to be careful, though, because, you know, I'm an old softy, and I'll start tearing up sometimes. Just memories and things like that. Very powerful. But then I was watching Elf last night, which is goofy fun. And if you've seen it, you know James Caan plays, you know, a hyper-serious, agitated kind of a boss of a big, you know, conglomerate, big department store or book publisher or whatever. And, yeah, Elf really gets on his nerves pretty funny. It reminded me of the kids.
Mm.
So, you know, I texted them all. I said, oh, just watching Elf, thinking of you guys.
That's one that I watch every year.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I know it's one of your favorites.
And you got Bob, a little bit of Bob Newhart in there at the beginning and the end, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, but my favorite all time really has always been It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh,
and
yes.
Even as a little kid, I was very sensitive to what was going on in that movie. And then you see these little intricacies through the years, something you've missed. And
or just as you get older, you pick up things that you just think of differently maybe even. So, yeah.
Right.
Like that.
Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. And Hollywood, good morning.
Hey, good morning and Merry Christmas to you guys. I wanted to make a comment about the Daniel Penny trial. One of the big problems, beyond the injustice that seems to be going on in our nation, but I think it puts fear in the hearts of would-be heroes to step in when they see something going down. It's like, man, I've always, you know, been a fighter for the underdog and stepping in where I see wrong happening. But I think people are just going to be afraid to even step up because they could be taken to court. So anyway, God bless you guys and God bless America.
God bless you and your family with Hollywood. And
yeah,
this it is troubling on a lot of different levels. Okay, it would only be under the purview of a few people to, say, bring these charges to begin with and make a court case out of it. In other words, the average citizen may not have any control over that, so it takes place. But then, supposedly, you have a jury of your peers seated. And that's what makes you wonder is, like, does it cross the jury's mind that would you want a guy like this on the subway if maybe your mother or your sister or your daughter was on that subway, somebody that you know could be vulnerable? And here you have, clearly, a dangerous man in Jordan Neely. I mean, that's not speculation. You can't say, well, you don't know what he would have done. Well, maybe not in that case, but he's a track record of, well, for instance, attacking and beating a 68-year-old woman at the subway.
Yeah.
So I would just think that the jurors would consider that and say, was he just looking for a homeless guy to beat up or kill? And that has happened. There are weirdos that, like, have killed them, you know, like where they're laying on the ground and stuff. Occasionally you get a case like that, or ones that try to fight him and beat him up and all that. Clearly this is nothing like that, and clearly Penny is not that kind of man at all. In fact, he does represent what we call the sheepdogs, the protectors of society. And when they're in a combat role, obviously the protectors of, you know, all things that we want protected in America. So, yeah, this is not a good message that could be sent at all. It's sad. It's really sad. You don't see it how obviously, clearly the bad guys are going to win if he is sentenced with anything?
Who would have dreamed you'd have people picketing with signs against him in this? I mean, we talk about the, you know, being judged by your peers. Look at some of the peers that are in this city and what is wrong with them.
That's the thing is, you would have to think that the vast majority of them had to have ridden the subway at least a few times, if not a lot.
Yes.
So can they not relate to, you know, being concerned or worried or being scared by some of the ne'er-do-wells that have been on there?
I think those are the people that, whether they would admit it or not, are making it a racial thing. In my just gut opinion.
I feel that is just
messed.
It's so sad, too. It's sad that there's people that they still are intent on trying to divide us that way. Well, we'll find out a little bit later. I guess the jury will convene, and I guess they'll be given instructions to go ahead and look at a lesser included charge of negligent homicide. And then I base this on something else that I heard, that the prosecutor was really, trying to sell them on that idea of finding him guilty on that, because he could get virtually no sentence, probation, which technically, legally is correct. But you're having to sell that kind of to the jury?
He shouldn't even have it on a record because we shouldn't be here. That's what's crazy about it.
Yeah.
But it goes back to the prosecutors.
Yep.
So.
Hey, you know, a lot of people got excited and upset, whatever, when Joe Biden decided he was going to pardon his son. I was not surprised at all. I was surprised when he was vehement about saying no, he would not.
Yes.
Because just as a father, I'd say, no, I'd never take that off the table. I'd say, well, let's see what happens. And, depending on how it turns out, yeah, I might. Of course, I'll take a look at it. It's my son. Mm-hmm. That's what I'd say. Of course, I'll take a look at it. Of course, I'll have. Yes. Would I have special considerations because he is my son? Well, if I say no, I'd be a liar. Of course, there's special considerations.
Sure.
But interesting, this is the first I've heard it positioned this way, and it's by Victor David Hansen, who, you know, I'm a fan of, and he's with the Hoover Institution. He's a senior fellow there. And apparently on his podcast on Friday, he put out that Hunter Biden was blackmailing Joe Biden with his past crimes and using it as leverage for a potential pardon. And I never even thought of it that way. Now, you know, obviously Hunter would be very damning toward Joe if he was offered some kind of a deal for information, right? Could be. Despite Biden and his staff repeatedly insisting that Hunter would not be pardoned for his tax fraud and felony gun charges, the president announced last Sunday that his decision to clear Hunter's record, and so he suggested, Victor David Hansen did, that Hunter, angry at being seen as the bad seed of his family, allegedly blackmailed his dad by threatening to testify against the family.
Wow.
There's a sickness in Hunter Biden vis-a-vis his father. I mentioned that if one reads carefully the laptop communications, there's an anger. He's not Bo Biden. He's the bad seed, the prodigal son. He feels that he cooked up the entire shakedown operation. He's the dirty bag man. He is Hunter. Remember, he says to his cousin, they'll always have me do stuff. Nobody ever. I'm the one making this family. If I was like dad, I'd charge everybody. So he had to do the dirty work. Do you remember when that came out? Where he stated that. Basically, yeah, in a very angry way that, you know, that his dad was getting, you know, piece of all the action. Mm-hmm. And everybody had to pay.
Yeah.
Huh. I never really thought of it in those kind of terms, but that's why we refer to him on some subjects, because he's a pretty smart fella. It is 7:45. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Coming up at 8:05, Ocala Chief Mike Balkin. We will speak with him. That's coming up on News Talk 97.3, The Sky. What do you say? Another awesome day. Another day like a Monday, which it is, that we're going to help to make great. That's our job. We take it very seriously. It is the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Hey, more than 100 Navy SEAL veterans are set to march in D.C. in support of Defense Secretary nominee Pete Hegseth's confirmation. Yeah, this came out in a Alec Lace on a podcast show, I believe it is, and it's being organized by Navy SEAL veteran Bill Freak Brown, the founder of the New York City SEAL Swim across the Hudson River. And the reason for him probably being involved is because Pete Hegseth has participated in it for several years. And they said Pete Hegseth has been a monumental part of promoting that Navy SEAL swim. He swam across the Hudson River a number of years in a row. And so he's been a big advocate for the Navy SEALs. And now that he needs help, the Navy SEALs, Bill Brown, has turned around and they are going to be helping Pete Hegseth any way that they can. And they said that they know some of the prominent SEALs who will probably be involved include Jason Redman, Rob O'Neill, Ray Cash Care, Rob Sleep Genius Sweetman, a bunch of others. But this is, that says a lot right there. These are the folks that, you know, they've reached the pinnacle in terms of tactical and combat, and they're willing to put their good names on the line for Pete Hegseth. I think that says a lot.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. I don't have an exact time or date that they have this lined up yet. So I think it is still maybe being put together right now. And hopefully they'll do it in a timely manner, because I know they probably want to move ahead with some decisions on whether or not he's going to be the pick. And it looks pretty good for him right now. A lot better than it did a few days ago.
Yeah, well, you know, you had that whole initial rush to go get him. You know, they were all jumping on board. And when one thing didn't stick to the wall, then they would throw something else. And that didn't stick. And they would go to something else. And so maybe they're just kind of giving up on trying too much.
Yeah. Some of the people that were part of those groups said these were like losers that had come forward and said these kinds of things about him, that they, you know, that there wasn't any merit to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the exception that whatever involvement he had with the woman who took money as part of an agreement, but then I guess it was her friend that came forward.
Right.
I don't know how that works. If you've got an NDA and your friend comes forward with the information, I don't know if the friend got the information from you, the signer of the NDA.
Right.
That
it doesn't say who you're not supposed to disclose it to.
You're not supposed to disclose to anybody.
Disclosure.
Yeah, non.
Non.
Not as in mostly, you know. Yet. Mostly, you know, just keep it kind of quiet.
Right.
Yeah, the language isn't, you know, keep it kind of on the down low.
Here's what I want to see, just in the case, and even though he didn't get anything out of it. If you're one of these people that go after a politician after signing an NDA, you need to be gone after for breaking the NDA. That otherwise, they have no power.
Well, they did. They did that with Stormy Daniels,
right,
and Trump. And, yeah, he won a judgment against her of, I don't know, at least tens, I think hundreds of thousands of dollars. But
oh, look,
she's not going to pay.
Here comes the money right now.
Yeah, here comes
it's checks in the mail.
Yeah. And, you know, he could take it out and trade, but that's what got him in trouble to begin with.
Wow.
See, do I need to apologize for that? It's close to Christmas.
Well, you got a few weeks. You're all right.
The Department of Defense has announced another nearly $1 billion in a new assistance package for Ukraine, bringing the total military aid provided by the U.S. to more than $62 billion since Russia's February 2022 invasion.
Hmm.
I was watching it's like a podcast on YouTube that just kind of laid it all out. Okay, I don't think I didn't feel like a real bias or agenda, but it was showing how maybe from the Putin or Russian point of view, how and why, and Crimea and Ukraine, and has to do with money.
Sure.
It has to do with pipelines. It has to do with the ability to ship and move petroleum products. Russia's like one of the largest producers. I think they might be the largest producers of natural gas, for instance. And remember, somebody blew up that pipeline. Remember that?
And do we really know who we believe did it? I mean, really?
Yeah. And was it officially kind of sanctioned by...
Right.
You know, by a country, shall we say, or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there are two sides to every story. And here, and I'm not giving Putin a pass, but I think somebody like a Trump and his team would be able to sit down with them and hear what they have to say and maybe help to negotiate a peace.
Yeah.
I mean, Zelensky seemed like he was leaning toward the possibility of peace just recently. But now you give him another $1 billion.
Sure.
It's almost like, okay, stop it with the peace talk. Here's more money. And we also know it acts as a giant laundromat, which basically, look, Russia is a country. It's basically a gas station named a country. Ukraine is basically a laundromat named a country, if you want to break it down. So anyway, the Biden administration given another nearly $1 billion. Could it help in some sort of a negotiation peace in the future? It's possible. Or it could kick off World War III.
Well, you got a 50-50 shot either way.
Yeah, I don't like that. That's not,
Not your odds?
No. Yeah, not on that. It's whether or not I'm going to win a donut, I'll go 50-50. Because, you know, if I lose, I'm not going to cry too long about it.
Right.
But thermonuclear warfare is not what I want.
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, Biden's taking some credit for toppling Assad. That might be somewhat deserved. Because, you know, what's the old adage? The enemy of our enemy is our friend.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that works out okay. In this case, maybe, maybe not. Yeah, maybe 50-50, right? All right. We've got plenty more to talk about coming up on the Monday edition of the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and local. You're listening to 97.3 The Sky.